Hi everyone, it's your host Amy Geckel and we are here with entry 13 of the Eating Disorder Diaries, a podcast about my 16-year battle with bulimia and my life in recovery. Let me tell you guys, I'm really excited for you to listen to today's episode. I'm sitting down with Merritt Elizabeth and Sarah Lee, two certified eating disorder coaches who have not only fully recovered from bulimia themselves, but they also have individual private practices where they work with clients to coach them on their own recovery journeys. If you're like me and didn't know how easily accessible eating disorder coaches were, or even what they do on a day-to-day with their clients, this episode is for you because Merritt and Sarah not only talk about their own recovery journeys, but they talk about what they offer as coaches, from someone you can call when you feel like you're about to indulge in a binge and purge behavior, to someone who can eat with you, someone who can teach you about all the different tools and techniques they've used themselves to get to a point of recovery. They've also partnered up to create a first-of-its-kind private online course called Conquering Bulimia that's accessible for anyone who's struggling with bulimia or wants to kickstart their healing journey on your own terms and on your own timeline, because this is a lifetime access course. And I cannot wait for you guys to hear about it and hear more about their stories. I know you will love them as much as I do. I'm not even kidding, guys. We already have a text thread going. They are such good people, and they know what it's like to be stuck, to even feel embarrassed saying the word bulimia. We're going to break that barrier today. Without further ado, here's Merritt Elizabeth and Sarah Lee in entry 13, Conquering Bulimia, featuring eating disorder coaches. Merritt Elizabeth and Sarah Lee, welcome to the Eating Disorder Diaries.
Thank you. So glad to be here, Amy.
When we met online and connected, I've never felt such an immediate connection to two people just over the internet. It's been so fabulous to meet you. And when Merritt reached out, I knew I wanted to do an episode because you are both eating disorder recovery coaches, and I really want to learn more about that. Merritt, could you start with just debriefing? Tell us about yourself. Tell us about how you got started as a coach.
Well, I really got started as a coach because of Sarah. I dropped into Sarah's inbox and her little inquiry form in her website one day, just really asking if she could hop on the phone and maybe share a little bit about what she does, what coaching is. And lucky for me, she responded super quick, ended up being a very long phone call. And then we became friends. And I think my journey really starts, you know, from my past experience with my eating disorder. I struggled all throughout adolescence and college. And when I got to full recovery, I had moved on with my life. I was working in the fashion industry in LA, and I realized it wasn't fulfilling enough. I really loved peer mentoring with a company called ANAD. Peer mentoring young women with eating disorders. And it was so much more fulfilling for me than what I was doing in the fashion industry that I knew I had to do something with eating disorders.
How long have you been? When did you reach out to Sarah?
Sarah, how long?
Oh, I know. I know. It was January 2021. And I remember when I got her email, and I'm a quick responder typically anyways, but she really captured my attention and how she wrote, because I could just tell her curiosity was there and she really wanted to learn more about just coaching. And so it was so easy to say, let's talk. And I remember I talked to her all the way from Houston to Dallas. I'd been down in Houston visiting some family, and she talked to me all the way home.
Okay. For those who don't know, I'm trying to picture it. How long is that drive?
It's like 3 hours.
Oh, I love that. I feel like I could talk to you guys for that long too, seriously. So you've been an eating disorder coach longer, Sarah.
What's your story? So my story is I struggled with bulimia throughout my 20s. So for almost 7 years, I was very high achieving, high functioning. I was in the world of banking. And so I went into recovery because I started to have health problems, and that scared me, and that got my attention. And when I left banking, I had already been recovered for quite a while. I'd been in banking for 18 years, wanted to do something different. I was burnt out, to be honest with you. And a little after that, I just felt a calling, honestly, to go out and help other women with food and body. Up until this point, nobody really knew I had ever even struggled besides close family members. And I figured out how to dive into the world of certifications and what were legit and what was going to give me the skills I needed. And fast forward, I've now been in practice almost 7 years. I hold four coaching certifications. I've mentored lots of other coaches as well and helped hundreds of people along their recovery journey.
I'm sure it's even more than that, though, because of the beauty of the internet and just reaching people. And I think the reason we've been able to have such an immediate connection is because I think we have a mutual calling. And we went through a hell of a disease and came out on the other side, and now we're teaching everyone what we're learning. So I'm so excited to just pick your brains and hear more about this. But really quickly, you had mentioned that you wanted to get into recovery because of some health concerns.
That's right.
Would you mind sharing what concerns or issues you were going through?
Yeah, not at all. I started to feel like cold all the time. I had like headaches, lots of GI things, to be very specific and open, because that's how we roll here, mm-hmm. is I was struggling with a lot of constipation. And it was really messing with my recovery, because I would think, I don't want to put more food in my body if I can't go to the bathroom. And that was super embarrassing. Obviously, I can talk about it very openly right now, but back then, there was no way I could talk about that. Mm-hmm. I even tried at one point, honestly, to take a laxative to help. I didn't know anything about, nobody with eating disorders. I knew nothing. Okay. But even one laxative was so hard on my system. There was no way I could go that route. So I just started having all these health things and didn't feel my best, you know,
and just trying to figure it out. I'm going to use the word holistic in this interview, because I talk about it all the time. Like, that's my approach. And I know, Merritt, you have a very similar approach, same with Sarah. So I really relate to what you're saying. And I think you mentioned that used to be so embarrassing to talk about because nobody was talking about it. It felt and still feels very taboo to talk about, which is why I'm so glad that you have entire practices on it and are talking about it online. But there was still a point where nobody knew that either of you had suffered from bulimia before. Mm-hmm. And now you're doing such great things for the community. But can you tell me a little bit about what it was like taking that leap? Merritt, we can start with you. Like, I know that you're an eating disorder recovery coach now. You're posting about it on Instagram. It's okay that everyone in your life knows about it. But at some point, I imagine, you know, it was very nerve-wracking to be able to do that. I have my own story about it, but what's yours like?
I would say when I fully recovered, I wasn't really telling the world, right? I didn't like snap my fingers and fully recover and then realize I wanted to tell anyone. That's not how it works. It's kind of like a slow fade for me into full recovery. And during, I think, that time, the people closest to me knew what I was going through and you know, what my recovery process was like, but I never really came out and told the world. And so years after I had reached full recovery, when I was living in LA, like I said, you know, working in the fashion industry, I realized, you know, I wanted to get my master's. And so I remember just posting on Instagram that I was going to go get my master's and start my eating disorder coaching practice. And that's really, I think, when the majority of people found out. It wasn't some big, you know, like, it wasn't meant to be a big display, like, hey, look, I struggled with this and now I'm here. It was just more of like an announcement of the next part of my journey. And I think in a way it was a little bit scary, but I had moved on with my life and I was just so proud of myself that it it didn't feel, you know, like anything that major.
That's interesting because mine's a little bit different. So interesting, Merrick, because we've actually never talked about this before, Amy.
No, we haven't.
I love it. Let's hear it.
I know, this is the first time. So I was like, wow, we actually have a difference because she and I have so many commonalities in our stories. But I have now been officially recovered from my eating disorder for 17 years. And I became a coach at the mark of my 10-year mark. And up until that point, again, only close people in my life knew I had struggled and recovered. So when I made the decision I wanted to follow this calling placed on my heart, I remember tiptoeing in it at first. And I'll never forget, it was National Eating Disorder Awareness Week. And I decided, like, okay, I'm just going to put like the helpline on my Facebook page. And everybody's probably going, I actually thought this through. People are going to be like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder why Sarah would just randomly post something like that. So I put it out there and I remember being so nervous, Amy, like, what are people going to think that I'm just sharing the hotline National Eating Disorder Week? And then when I decided to announce that I was going to be a coach and I was getting certified, it was a big deal for me. Like, I thought about how I was going to post it, what I was going to say. I was coming out in my mind to the whole world that I had struggled with the eating disorder. Mind you, I held very high professional positions, and a lot of people that were connected in my circle had worked for me. So by me coming out saying I had struggled with the eating disorder while these people worked under me was like huge, mammoth. And so I had really thought about it, but the response I got back when I announced to everybody, it was mind blowing. I remember getting emotional, which isn't that hard for me to do, but I remember getting emotional and just feeling so touched by people saying, I had no idea, you're so brave. I know somebody that's struggling, you're going to help so many.
That's another thing that I have noticed that's been huge is the amount of people who have in turn confided in me. As soon as I kind of made an official announcement about starting a podcast about eating disorders, was my announcement to everyone. My next question is, so Sarah, you mentioned that you've been recovered for 17 years and a lot of that was motivated by health concerns. Was there anything else in your life that really pushed you to kind of flip the switch and realize, I want to achieve full recovery?
1000%. His name is Bruce Lee. He's my son. That was bound to happen, me get emotional. Yes, he was around 7 years old when I went into recovery. And during this health scare, to make the long story short, he found me one day passed out in the bathroom. And when I came to, he was over me and he had these little glasses, and the vision is always going to be in my head. He had these little glasses and they were all fogged up. And he asked, you know, Mommy, are you okay? And I literally remember, Amy, having vomit on the side of my mouth and wiped off. I ended up having to go to the hospital that day. My electrolytes, everything were all off. And it was at that moment, the next day is when I decided to go into recovery. But him finding me and me having the realization of what am I doing, changed everything for me. So it was coupling my health with that scary moment, my son finding me. He doesn't have any memory of that. It could be suppressed. He's very sweet and supportive, and I love him to death. He's 24 now and wonderful, but he's a huge part of my story. And the third piece for me is I literally dropped to my knees coming home from the hospital and asked God to help me. So my faith also plays a huge role into my life. And it was after I dropped to my knees, went to God saying, please help me. I cannot do this on my own. I literally got up, had a peace come over me, went to my computer and found my therapist. And I started seeing her. And it's the miracle. I stopped all my behaviors, which I know is rather quickly, so I don't want anyone comparing, but I had stopped all my behaviors in about 3 to 6 months in. And then I had, of course, tons of work to do with body image and thoughts and trauma and a lot of other things. Those pieces took a lot longer, but I was able to, you know, stop the behaviors. But my motivation, to your point, was so strong because I was having health scares. I had a little boy, and I invited God to be part of my story.
Well, thank you for being so vulnerable. I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to kind of, you know, we're at our wit's end here and something needs to change. And I also credit my amazing therapist. I actually found her through BetterHelp. I was having a dark day. I had bad luck with the therapist that I was going to, and I typed in BetterHelp. Turns out she was 20 minutes away from me. I haven't stopped going to her since I found her. She's been amazing. And I also, of course, have been reading both of your websites and about what you offer. And I think it's incredible that for those who have a Christian faith or something similar to you that you can coach them through, you will incorporate that into their healing journeys, because everyone has their own unique healing journey. Yes. And I think you using scripture to really help someone realize like what they can do to change their behaviors and change their habits is amazing. I want to ask you more about that after we hear Merritt's story, because Merritt, I can also really relate to struggling in adolescence and especially in college. College was a blur between all of the partying, all of the stress with trying to pass a million exams each semester. It was a lot. And it was actually, you know, a low point, but I'm sure you were like this too. We're high achievers. So maybe from the outside, people would be so surprised that, you know, you're struggling. But so what made you kind of flip the switch to say, I need to achieve full recovery?
I think that I got to a point in my recovery where a lot of the things that I was doing weren't working. I didn't resonate with the people on my treatment team at all, you know, and I realized that I needed to take the rest of this route, the rest of this journey into my own hands, do it on my own. It wasn't up to anyone else. It was up to me. And that's the thing, right? Like, no one can recover for you. No one is going to be able to ignite the spark inside of you to want to recover. That's all on you. And so I think that was, I got to a point where I said, you know, I want to do this for me. I want to go the rest of the way on my own through my own, you know, alternative healing techniques too. I really loved incorporating different spiritual elements into my recovery, like visualization, meditation, there's so many other ways to heal besides just traditional therapy, right? Like, if that doesn't work for you, there's so many other ways you can heal and grow as a human being and evolve. And I think that's really important for me to say. And I did go to therapy. You know, I did have the really classic traditional treatment team, and that was wonderful for a time being. But there was a point that I realized, you know, like, okay, I need to take things in my own hands now. I need to do this for myself.
I'm also huge on meditations and alternative types of therapies. I think it's never a one-size-fits-all approach. And that's why I think it's one of the reasons it's so important to continue talking about this, is because we can all share different ways that we've healed, things that I wish I would have known 2 months into my journey or 2 years into my journey, because I feel like had I known about meditations, I could have healed way sooner. And one thing that, by following you on Instagram, and by the way, I will link both of your handles in the show notes, but one thing I've learned is all about kind of your visualization techniques. And I haven't done that before. So vision boards, et cetera, talk me through, like, what do you like to do with visualization?
Yeah, well, visualization is amazing. It's really just training your mind. You're practicing, experiencing whatever it is that you want in your life, right? And so I discovered visualization really on accident. I remember being at a point in my recovery where I was very down, and I would daydream all the time about a different life, you know, a life that I wanted to live, something that was exciting and fun, and I felt peaceful. And so I had practiced visualizing that so much, innocent daydreaming, that really wasn't what it was. It was really this idea of visualization. that I was engaging in every day. And I became good at it. You know, I became able to sit in the stillness and close my eyes and really visualize what it was I wanted in my life, but also go a step further and bring in the senses. You know, if I'm at the beach, what would it smell like? What would it feel like? You know, what would the weather be? What would my internal state be, right? Like, would I feel calm? Would I feel happy? And so I got really used to feeling those feelings. And eventually, through the practice of visualization, that was the life I created for myself. The life I was visualizing 24/7 became the life that I started living.
Yeah, you really manifested it, which I love. Do you use a software or something, or Pinterest for vision boards?
Yeah, I do. So I always say, I think it's cool to have something digitally, using Pinterest to craft, you know, the aesthetic you want of your vision board, right? And then you can go a step further. And I think we need it physically as well. So literally ordering a cork board and push pins off Amazon, and then you can print everything if you have a printer at home, or at CVS for like 50 cents. And so I say, start on Pinterest, you know, make it digitally, and then print out all of those pictures and put them on your physical vision board and have it somewhere where you'll look at it every single day. And then the images that you use, it's not just about destinations, like, right, like vacations you want to go on, but people that inspire you, quotes that inspire you, pictures that evoke a feeling, that, you know, bring about a sense of emotion when you're looking at those pictures. Include your fear foods. If one day you want to be able to casually go get a croissant in Paris, right? Like, think, dream big, then put a picture of a cafe, people eating croissants in Paris, on your vision board. Like, think big, think outside the box. Anything that you want to create is out there. It's possible for you. So nothing is off limits. That's really the motto when it comes to creating a vision board.
I love that. Great advice. Before we get into questions about kind of what to expect with your coaching services, I want to talk about the effects of purging, because that's not something that I've really done on the podcast so far. And we have this commonality of all suffering from and recovering from bulimia. And while I could go on all day about the mental effects that it has, I don't really talk about the physical effects. And I think that's something that you two do a great job of.
Well, I think, I mean, we could talk about this all day if we wanted to. I think
it could be a whole podcast, right? Because you start with the hair and go down to your toes and everything in between.
Every single system in your body is affected by purging. And that's something that we tend to overlook. You know, I think we think, oh, it's bad for your teeth, it's bad for the enamel, right? Like, no, it really affects every single part of your body, right? Hair, skin, nails, your brain. We've already talked about the GI distress, you know, that purging causes, right? I mean, I really think we could spend a whole episode on this. Sarah, is there anything that comes to mind particularly that you think is overlooked?
Well, I think specifically what really can make things go haywire is the impact it has to your hormonal system and, you know, your nervous system and the GI, because we do know that your GI and the endocrine system, they affect everything in the body. Right. So if your hormones are out of balance, if your GI is not working how it should, your microbiome is off, all these things are happening. It affects every system in your body. And as I was saying, when I started to have all these health concerns, Amy, I started thinking, oh, it must be my thyroid. It must be this, right? Like, my brain was like, it's everything but my eating disorder, because I don't want to go deal with that, right? And I would never tell a doctor, by the way, I'm binging and purging and starving myself in between. But I really think, you know, hormones, and your GI, once those things have problems, you're going to have all kinds of problems everywhere. But I never told doctors that I would see about my eating disorder, as I'm saying. And so they didn't have all the information, right? And so they're trying to diagnose me and figure out what's going on without this big piece of information that I was holding back.
The missing puzzle piece, for sure. Mm-hmm. I think I started putting my pieces together in my later 20s, when I got into the right relationship, I, I was more authentic to myself. I wanted to get help and I wanted to take this more holistic approach to healing in general, which I talk about a lot. And I think after looking at Merit's Instagram, and one of her Instagram posts says, if you want to take a holistic approach to healing backed by neuroscience, I think we'll get along. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting along with this, these women very well. So I think you probably take that approach a lot in your coaching services, but just tell me what to expect, because I have not interacted with an eating disorder coach before. So I've been to both of your websites. I figured, you know, people can find you online on your websites through these podcasts, but if they are interested in getting an eating disorder recovery coach, what does that look like? What's the process? And then what do you offer?
Well, eating disorder coaching really fills in the gaps in the treatment team. So coaching is an adjunct to the rest of the treatment team, right? Like you have your therapist or maybe your dietitian, and the coaching is a really great add-on, and we help with behavior change. So we really stay in the here and now. We don't psychoanalyze the past. We don't prescribe meal plans. We focus on the behavior change. What's affecting you today that's preventing you from getting one step closer to recovery tomorrow? And every coach is different. So every coach, I think, has a little bit of a different practice. And Sarah and I are quite similar. We love talking about neuroscience and mindset shifts, you know, and how to become more aware of your mind, body, soul connection. And I think every coach is different, and you really just, you have to figure out whose personality vibes with you the most before you pick the coach that's right for you.
That relational piece is so huge. I think a lot of times people think, well, I'm the problem because I'm not connecting with this person, but like find somebody you're connected with. Yeah. The coaching piece, I like to use the word is we're an adjunct, but sometimes we can become the most intimate part of your treatment team because you have access 100%. To us in between your sessions via text to either celebrate wins. If you're having a hard moment, I'll always tell my clients, if I don't respond right away, I will as soon as I have an opportunity. You know, if I'm working with adolescents, I'm very involved with the family dynamic and trying to help, like, for instance, mom understand the language and translate to help their communication, you know, become stronger for the recovery process. We also eat with clients, right? Yeah. So we face fears head on. A fear for some people, some person could just be like, the salad's too big and that's scary to me and I have to meet my meal plan, or somebody else, we're going out for Mexican. So we work in real time on the behaviors, as Merit has said, but not just talking about it. There's a lot of exposure pieces for the coach too, where we're like in the trenches with them, Amy. Like we just get down in there, hold their hand and like, let's go.
Yeah. And I think I love what you said about it being, it can be such an intimate piece, because like we are literally the people you call when you're in the bathroom about to engage in a behavior and, you know, and you don't want to. We're the people that you call because we get it. We've been there. And so it does get really intimate. And I think the really awesome thing about coaching is it's very customizable. If we need to spend a session going through your closet and taking out all the triggering clothes and thinking about the new clothes you need, let's do it. You know, if we need to talk on the phone when you're grocery shopping because it's triggering to you, then we can do that. You know, it's very individualized. So it's not a one size fits all approach. It's very much, let's get on the phone. Let's talk about exactly what you're struggling with. And then let's craft a customized plan that's right for you.
This is so incredible. I'm not even kidding. I'm thinking about me when I was struggling and not having anything like that. I had people in my life that I could tell, like, I'm having a bad day, or I struggle with an eating disorder. And they would very genuinely say, you can call me, but I wouldn't want to call them, especially when I was struggling. To know that someone has been through it themselves and will be there judgment-free is unbelievable. I think it's such a critical tool, and I'm so happy that I'm getting to just kind of hear more about it and put out an entire episode about it so others can learn that this is an option available for them, just another tool in their tool belt.
Absolutely. And purging is I mean, there's so much shame and guilt. And unless right. you've been through it yourself, you have no idea what it's like.
Right.
You just don't. There's no way you could possibly understand unless you have literally engaged in that behavior yourself.
You're listening to Entry 13 of the Eating Disorder Diaries featuring Merritt Elizabeth and Sarah Lee, and we'll be back right after this break. If you're like me and love podcasts, you've probably considered starting a podcast of your own. I can tell you that starting this podcast has been one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done. I use the website Buzzsprout to upload all of my shows and get my episodes listed in every major platform. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch a professional podcast. When I conceptualized the idea of my podcast, I had no idea where to get started. I bought a mic, wrote some episodes, but then what? Buzzsprout has tons of guides to help get you started, from marketing your podcast to monetizing it to optimizing your SEO. You also get a website where you can link your social media handles and get detailed analytics to see how and where people are listening. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get started on your podcast. Following the link in the show notes lets Buzzsprout know I sent you and gets you a $20 credit if you sign up for a paid plan. Thanks for supporting the show, and let's create something great together.
You both have individual private practices, but I think there are courses that you're working on together. Can you talk to me about that?
We both have our own individual coaching practices, but we decided to come together to launch a course, an online self-paced course called Conquering Bulimia. Okay. I'm so excited. I think this is like the first time we're talking about it.
Congratulations. Tell me all about it.
this is a special moment right here. We've been working on this course for the better part of a year. So it's been a long time in the making. It's definitely been a labor of love.
And when we say almost a year in the making, consistent work.
Yes.
Consistent work, Amy, not dabbling here and there. We sat down, we knew we wanted to do something together because we've become such great friends and we have such similar stories. We run similar coaching practices, but we also have these unique differences, like being 20 years apart. We're exactly 20 years apart in age, right? And so we have some different backgrounds and we knew we just wanted to bring our differences and similarities together. Mm-hmm. And we sat down like, what are we going to do? And we decided there's not that much out there for bulimia. What? How is this possible? Everybody talks about eating disorders. Everybody gets kind of lumped into one group a lot of times. Sometimes anorexia and binge eating kind of get pulled apart. But if you go look, there's not a whole lot out there for bulimia specifically. So, by the way, love that you have a bulimia specific podcast. And I know you talk about other things too, but that's a core for you. So we have produced over 70 videos and it's over a course of 10 modules. We go highly in depth. We share our best coaching tips. We talk about everything bulimia related, from mind, body, spirit, heart. We have some of the leading experts in our Conquering Bulimia course. And we have also made it super affordable, discounting it over 60% of what one-on-one coaching would look like. Mm-hmm. So we are super proud of this. Like Merritt said, it's been a labor of love and we are confident that people are going to find this very helpful, either as an adjunct to their recovery or, you know, just trying to get a jump start in some type of way, like dipping their toes in.
And I think the cool thing about this course is it's for everyone. There really is so many different ways to utilize this course. As Sarah said, as an adjunct to your recovery, maybe you've never told anyone and you're not ready to jump into all things recovery yet. So maybe you use this as kind of an introduction into recovery. Maybe you want to know what coaching is like. We envision so many different people taking this course. I mean, and it's on demand, right? You have access to it forever. So I can literally imagine like someone sitting in their college dorm room being able to use this course when they might be struggling in their recovery. Yeah. We also picture coming home from work and being able to use this as part of your recovery homework. And it's private, you know, it's just for you. It's your course. No one else has to see it. There's no community with the course. You're not joining a Facebook page. It's not an Instagram page. You won't make friends here. It is literally just for you.
That was so important for Mira and me, because as we talked about, and Amy, I know you're the same, being in the corporate world, we were very high achieving in our eating disorder. And most people would have never known that we struggled. And so to begin our recovery journey, we were not people who wanted to join and have our eating disorder like part of our identity in some type of way. And it makes room for everyone to be different. Some people really need those communities, and that's beautiful. I work with clients all the time that get so much out of a community, right? But that's just not where Merit and me, like, we didn't fit that mold when we went into recovery. And so we wanted to create something for people who was like, I want intensive, a private, on my own time way to pursue recovery.
Yeah. Okay. I'm so interested in this. I can't wait to take it myself. We can officially get our hands on this on August 1st.
Yeah. August 1st. That's the launch.
And you'll by the time this is out, you guys can go take the Conquering Bulimia course. And if I want to find it just firsthand, I'm sure I can Google it, but also I will link any way that they can get their hands on this course in the show notes. So everyone can go take this course. I'm so excited for it. And just congratulations. I'm sure it's a huge accomplishment, and I'm just so happy for you guys.
Thank you. We're super excited too. But Amy, there's a second piece to this. We have another website where you can go and take a pledge. It's also private, confidential, will not cost you anything. You don't have to take our course, but this is called our Purge Pledge. We have opened this up worldwide for people to go and vow to themselves they will stop the purging behavior, to watch the numbers grow. And we have a special vow that you can take on that site. Again, totally private. Your name's not going to show up anywhere. It's an oath to yourself to stop this behavior and take your life back. Stop allowing bulimia to call the shots. That's where we are at. We know the freedom that we have. We want to give it to other people.
If you're a provider, if you struggled with bulimia a long time ago and you're recovered, take the Purge Pledge. It's for everyone. And I think too, there's a PDF download. Once you take the pledge, you'll get this PDF download and you can print it out, laminate it, put it on your nightstand, put it in your bathroom mirror, on the back of the toilet, put it where you can see it so that whenever you're triggered, you know, you took this vow and you're not going to purge.
We're taking it. Not that we think we would ever relapse or go back, but you know what? It's just our oath to ourselves. We are never going back to that place.
Never. Yeah.
We're recovery warriors in this together. I love it so much. Before we get into the next segment, are there any other words of wisdom you want to leave the listeners with around, you know, what you wish you knew when you were struggling, or just any advice you can leave us with?
I think my best piece of advice and the biggest struggle with purging and trying not to purge is after you've engaged in a binging behavior and you're sitting with that urge and you're trying to surf the urge and it feels like so impossible to sit there and deal with it. And in your mind, you're thinking, it's not that bad. I'll start over tomorrow. You know, like I can purge this one time and then I'll start tomorrow. You have to stop that cycle of thinking those thoughts that you'll start tomorrow, because you never will. You never will. And so I think my best piece of advice is sit with it when it's uncomfortable, when it sucks, sit with it for as long as you possibly can, because that's going to be the key to your recovery.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I've talked a lot about using my eating disorder behaviors to numb rather than sit with uncomfortable feelings. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really great piece of advice. Sarah, what about you?
My one piece of advice I would add to that is that the cycle a lot of times starts with restricting. So a lot of times we focus our attention on the binging and purging behavior because that seems so out of control. And if we could just get rid of that, we would be fine. I know when I went into recovery, it was like, well, just stop those pieces. And when I learned I needed to stop restricting or dieting, I was like, whoa, hold up. What are we talking about? But it starts with the restricting behavior because you have two pieces, right? You have the emotional compulsion piece, but you also have the physical piece. So if your body is well nourished and well fed and well hydrated, now you've solved for one piece. You've solved for like the physical piece. And now we just have to deal with the emotional and thought piece. So I would just love for everyone to really embrace the notion of if you restrict, you are setting yourself up for a binge and a purge, and restriction can look different for everybody. Like it can be as simple as I always counted all my calories and stuff. That was my restrictive behavior. So I wouldn't eat hardly any fats, right? Because fats are high in calories. As soon as I brought fats back into my diet, my binging behaviors went way down. That was before I addressed like the emotional and the thought process stuff. So just helping my body give her like what she needed was huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just taking the first step. I just think that is like, it is a first step. Like let's get our body at least more healthy. Doing your research on nutrition. In my last episode, I talked about what I've learned from my nutritionist and getting really whole balanced meals. So I think that is a really good piece of advice as well. We're going to get into segment number two, and I'm going to ask for your recommendations and positive self-affirmations. So we'll be right back. So segment number two, I arguably love this segment the most in all of my shows because I get to hear about what everyone's loving. And I also get to talk about what I'm loving because I'm always thinking about what I'm using online that I want to share with other people. So this is the time I get to use that. And of course, we are on a self-love journey. So I want to hear some positive self-affirmations at the end, but starting with recommendations, just anything you're loving, any other advice that you have for the listeners, go for it.
I will start with what I'm loving. I love an app called Open. It's a breathwork and meditation studio. And before you're like, I already have that, you don't. This is different. So this breathwork and meditation app is, I think, arguably the best one out there because it is totally customizable. You can filter the meditations and the breathwork, you know, sessions you're looking for by duration. So if you need 3 minutes, it's there. If you need 10 minutes, it's there. You can also filter it by outcome. So if you're looking to decrease anxiety or increase joy, you know, if you're looking for clarity, it's there. If you're looking for, you know, more information about how to cultivate a meditation practice, it's also there. You can choose music or no music, guided or less guided. You can filter it by teacher. I mean, there are so many amazing meditations on the app. They are
literally downloading it right now.
You need to download it right now. And I'm going to give you a code that you can also give your listeners. I was obsessed with them and I post them all the time. So they reached out to me and gave me a code for 1 month free. So
that's awesome.
I say, why not? Like download it for a month. And if you hate it, you don't even have to pay for it. Just cancel it. But I think it will change your life because so many of my clients, even the biggest skeptics, have told me that this meditation app is really a lifesaver, especially for anyone dealing with anxiety.
Hey, you heard it here first, and I love the recommendations. Sarah, what about you?
Well, one new thing I'm loving is the app called Headway. I just found it not too long ago. And it basically takes lots of books, some of the most well-known books, and it's like audio cliff note versions. They hit the insights, the high keynotes. They can take in any book like Intuitive Eating, for example, the Intuitive Eating book, and literally gets it down to 15 minutes. So I love this because I'm kind of like, give me the information and let me take it from there. And I can do a morning walk around my neighborhood for 15, 20 minutes and literally like knock out a book. So I love Headway. They have so many books in there. And like Merritt was saying with the customization of the meditation app, you can customize this app on it, like gives you a little quiz in the beginning on things that you're into, what do you like, anything from like relationship building to career and goals to recovery. And then it will give you like book selections and things like that. So it's called Headway.
Okay. Headway. Really love that too. I'm about to go download both of these apps and like cancel a bunch of apps on my phone that are taking up too much space.
Yeah. You'll love it, Merritt.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. And also with love book recommendations from you offline. So I will be picking your brain and emailing you guys all of the time. But with that said, to wrap this up, I know I mentioned it briefly, but I've been on such an amazing self-love journey. And I think my life has changed so much just by telling myself every single day that I love you. And I try to be specific in the podcast with what do we love about ourselves? And so I'd love to hear what you guys love about yourself and how far you've come in life. I mean, I've met you twice now. I could go on a list about what I adore about both of you. But with that said, Merritt, do you want to start?
Yeah, I think I'll start with my affirmation. I like that you said you have an affirmation you say every day, and mine definitely changes. But right now I'm loving saying I'm confident, just repeating, I am confident in whatever it is I'm doing. So that's my affirmation for the month. That one's going strong. It might change next month. But right now that's what I love. What I love about myself, this used to be so hard for me. It used to be so hard just to admit I liked anything about myself. You know, I think that we get in this habit of thinking it's selfish, you know, to give yourself a compliment or say that there is something you love about yourself. But now I really embrace that. And I love my listening skills. I've always been a great listener. And I think that's probably part of what makes me a great coach. But I think that's one of the top few things I really love about myself is just my listening skills, just being able to let someone else tell their story and listen without interruption, without judgment.
I think it's critical for a coach. I can only imagine how amazing you are at it. So thank you for sharing. Sarah, what's an affirmation and something that you love about yourself?
Well, like Merritt, my affirmation can change depending on the season and you know what's going on. But one of my affirmations that are often a go-to for me is progress, not perfectionism. And so I still have that trait in me, even though I'm recovered. So noticing when that isn't doing me any favors and reminding myself that progress with whatever is good enough, you know, so that's one that I use a lot. Progress, not perfect. Something I love about myself, I immediately was thinking about this, you know, prior to coming on today, knowing that you'd probably ask this question. In the Enneagram, I am an achiever with a helper wing. So if anybody knows about Enneagrams, that is a 3-wing 2, right? But basically what it means is I want to be the best helper. That's what it basically means. And I love that about myself because it gives me capacity for a large amount of productivity to help serve other people. So I have a wide net I can task to help lots and lots. And Merritt knows that too. And I feel like I am able to do that while just serving and using my gifts. And I just have that drive in me. I have a drive to achieve and help other people.
I think I can tell by your role as a mother and a coach and a friend and a business partner that really just helps with your relationships in general. It comes through even on a screen. I wish we were closer and we could hang out more often, but thank you so much for sharing. To wrap up, we talked about your coaching services, how that can help someone on their recovery journey. We talked about the new course that you're releasing for conquering bulimia, the Purge Pledge. While I'll put everything in the show notes, where can everyone find you online?
Well, they can find, I'm old school. So I'm over on, in Facebook land, but I do have a coaching business page on Facebook. Sarah Lee Recovery is where you can find me. I am on Instagram, but I don't really do anything there besides follow Merit. I follow Merit on Instagram because she has an amazing Instagram page.
She does.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. That talk about another labor of love. I'm on Instagram only. I can't do Facebook. I have no idea how to work it. My Instagram is just Merit Elizabeth.
Merit Elizabeth. Okay. I will put links to both Facebook and Instagram and your websites in the show notes. Sarah Lee, Merit Elizabeth, I really appreciate you both coming on. This has been such an amazing beginning to a relationship, and I can only imagine where we're going to go from here.
That's Amy, so thank you.
You guys, I was so blown away by that conversation and so grateful for the opportunity that I have to meet people in this field who are doing the hard work that I can relate to so much and have this instant connection with. Like we said, if you want to hear more about Merit and Sarah's new course, Conquering Bulimia, it is out now. You can access it with the link in the show notes, and you can also take the Purge Pledge, which I will be taking myself. We have resources out there that can help us get better, and I would definitely recommend taking this course. This is something that I wish I would have done when I was struggling. I will be back in 2 weeks for a solo episode. We've got a lot to catch up on, wedding planning-wise. This podcast is slowly turning into half eating disorder recovery, half wedding planning, but I'm on a ride right now, and I'm going to take you guys with me. This podcast was written and produced by me, Amy Geckel, with music from Coma Media. Come follow me on Instagram at The Eating Disorder Diaries. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.